I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, man, if some of the nursery workers that had me growing up came in and walked and saw me standing up here, they probably, there's two options. They probably just leave, or they might just fall out right there, shocked. Because basically, if it could be torn up, thrown around, or anything, that's what we did. We just wrestled over everything, fought, had fun. I mean, it was a really fun time. I loved it growing up, but and that's where my boys are at, man. Gosh, we're just right at the phase of where they can wrestle really good, and sometimes they get me, and it hurts the next day, but it's fun. So like Pastor Allen said, my name's Tyler Young. My wife's sitting back there, and my grandparents came down and saw me. Woo! I know. I've been here, I think I came when I was 14, so I've been here a while. I'm turned 28 this next month. Getting old. No, I'm just kidding. But, and we've been here the whole time and just got to really serve with Pastor Allen and the pastors here, and it's just been a blessing. My whole life just getting to experience God here and just grow. I couldn't think of another place to raise my kids, like just because the atmosphere, the nursery workers, the people we have at this church, it's just an amazing atmosphere we have. I want to pray real quick and then we're going to get started. So dear God, I thank you for today. I just pray that as I go through today that I just express and say everything you have on your heart for me to say. I thank you for all that you've done for me in my life personally and just as we've gone through as a church, Lord. We pray that you continue to grow us and just show us where we're going, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So for the past couple of years, what God's done in my life is he's shown me basically who I am, whose I am, and then my value and place and like the price that was paid for me. And so I taught on who's your dad? Who's your father? Let's go with there, all right? Let's correct that, but basically, who's your father? I'm going to go there. And I talked about sonship, and I taught about that. And what I feel like today is that God wants me to kind of touch on like the price that was paid so we can live the life we are and how we aren't just accidentally where we're at, right? God's placed us each individually in the place where we're at on purpose. Like, he wouldn't, like, give us this life and give us his son so we could live the life with the Holy Spirit and all this just so we can work a job that's by chance, right? We're placed at spots. So, and I was praying about it. I was like, man, how many of us, like, experience, like, just, like at my job, before I started walking this out, I would experience just like, I would even call it burnout. Like, it was just overwhelming, you know, negativity. It was hard to go to work, right? It was hard sometimes to be in community I was around. Family was difficult. You know, all these things, if we feel them a certain way, they can really weigh us down, right? And so I was asking God, like, in school, people who are in school, I was going through paramedic school this last year, and it was a lot. And then I had a kid midway through, and it was just extreme amount of stuff going on in my life. And I would never thought I would be at that place, right? So whenever growing up, I worked for actually Mr. Tim, and I loved my job. It was a lot of fun. I worked with Josh Carillion. Me and him have worked hours together. You know, it was so much fun. Actually, Josh, we're almost the same color today. Shirt, that is pretty. See, that's it. And we actually, I think, own the same shirt. Some of them will wear them together. Not on purpose. It's just like great minds think alike. But worked with Josh and Mr. Tim and just got to, just loved it. Loved working outside. And then God started talking to me and told me to apply for the fire department. And it wasn't easy because I was good at my job. I knew how to do it. I was comfortable. And, just going to all this new stuff. I didn't know anybody outside. Mike Whalen was there, and didn't know anybody. And so it was a process. It was a like going through. I didn't do well on a bunch of tests. I just like figuring it all out was craziness. And there was moments where I was like, I don't even want to do this. Why am I here? And God would always bring me back that He had called me there. Now I was supposed to be there. So I finally get through EMT school, pass the test, and I'm like, that is over. I'm never doing anything like that again. And then 2.5 years later, God's like, hey, you know, what about paramedic school? I'm like, it's a school. I mean, people go to it. This guy ain't going, you know. And just started just speaking to me about it. And really, there's just like this hunger to go in that direction. And so I was like, all right. I talked to Shelves. We prayed about it. I was like, I think I'm supposed to do this. And did it and walked with God through that. And gosh, what a crazy change in my life. You know, the first part was such a struggle. I was comfortable in that job. And then with the paramedic, you have to be in charge of a lot of stuff, patient care, talking to doctors, talking to hospitals, talking to nurses, all this stuff. And so I didn't think I was ready for that. I didn't think that's where I was going. I was very comfortable. And so finished it well. Did a lot better in paramedic school than I did in EMT school, which shocked me. God's just been exploding in my life through that. I get to talk to people. I get to show God's love through that. And I would never thought if I would have left when I thought about leaving, when I first started, I would have missed out on all this. I couldn't imagine working anywhere else right now. I love my job. I've got good guys around me, and so I just love it. And what God's been showing me even more lately is how having a positive attitude can just shift the whole atmosphere of everything. You know, there's a lot going on. There's the pandemic's been going on with COVID. Hospitals have been, in which some people who know, I think Katie would know, hospitals have been crazy. It's been crazy. Like every hospital you go to, you look, there's a board and you look on it and there's some patients there 12, 15 hours just because they have nowhere else to go. They need to go to another part of the hospital, but it's just slam packed full. And there's times when we have to sit with our patients the other day I sat for like 3 hours with a patient in a hospital. And normally it's like you take them to a room, they sign, you tell them what's going on and you're out. But because of how busy they've been, we've been having to sit. And that was going on when I was at EMT, and the paramedics would just get so upset, which is understandable. Like, it takes a long time. You don't want to sit there. You know, there's a lot. It's understandable on that end. But once I became a paramedic, I was like, man, the reason why I'm sitting here waiting is because these guys are having to work, and they're having to sit with patients. They're trying to figure out. They're probably twice as busy as I am. The least I can do is sit here and be patient and understanding and be as kind as I can to them, right? Because they're dealing with, like, each of them, I think, have, like, 4 patients per nurse is how some of the hospitals I've gone to work. And so they're dealing with 4 people, and they've got 20, 30 people out in the waiting room, and they've got people coming in by other ambulances. And they'd, like, you'd hear people complain, hey, when are we getting a room and stuff? And then you just see them running constantly. And I'd be like, hey, they'd be like, hey, we're working on it. I'm like, oh, it's no big deal. Like, we're just sitting here. We're all good. And the atmosphere, how their personality, how their whole attitude completely changed. It's not because I focused so much on what was going on, all the wrong that was going on with me and how I was affected and stuff. It's I took a moment to go, they have a lot going on. The least I can do is be positive and be okay and work with them, right? And it doesn't cost me anything. It doesn't affect my day. I don't get a room quicker if I'm nice. Some people are like, oh, you go buy ambulance, you get a room quicker. Not the case. Not the case. If everyone believes that, let's not believe that anymore. It's not the case. But it doesn't really affect me a whole lot, but it hopefully takes a little stress off their highly stressful day of anything could walk through that door. So God's been just really talking to me about that. And so before all that happened, I was almost experiencing to the point of like a burnout. Like I felt all this stress. I was hearing all this stuff and I was going, yeah, this job does kind of suck. Yeah, this is affecting me. Oh, yeah, we should be paid more and all this stuff. And I started realizing like I was speaking that stuff into existence too. We believe that we're a prophetic culture. We believe that, you know, if you think about it, we're creating God's image. God created the world and everything around just by speaking it into existence. And then I'm shocked whenever I speak bad about my job and I hate it worse in a month. Or it gets worse. Or I speak about the leadership of something and all of a sudden it gets worse. It's like, oh my gosh, this came out of left field. No, you spoke about it a month ago. You told us how terrible your job was, how you hated it, and you wish you could quit every day you go to work. It's going to get, like, you spoke that, you know? And so having a positive attitude, knowing, I guess knowing your value, that's where God's taking me through a lot, is I understand, like, there was a situation with somebody that they had someone they were talking friends with, and then that person just kind of flipped a switch or something and were extremely rude to them. And initial response is be rude back or just shut them out completely, right? That used to be my response. Oh, you want to be rude to me? One, I'm going to say something rude to you. And then two, I'm not going to talk to you, not going to help you. You're going to do everything on your own, right? Well, as I start walking through and seeing that my value, it allows you to see other people's value. Oh, that person's just hurt because of this happened, right? Oh, they're super busy, so they're a little snippy. Or, oh, they had a terrible patient. Or someone, like, even at restaurants. Oh, they had someone that was very rude customer that didn't tip and wanted to criticize everything they did. Oh, okay, I understand why they might be a little short with me, you know? And as I started looking at that, it just really affected me. Like, me and Shelbs actually, we just came back from vacation. It was late, like 9 o'clock. We stopped at a restaurant, and they were short-staffed, just getting slammed, just person after person. And I heard a couple different tables just ripping into these people. And I was like, man, this is odd. And then it was awesome. Me and Shelby both at the same time heard, give more of a tip than you normally would. And I was like, this is awesome. We get to give a tip. So we both gave a tip. We gave one, and then I was sitting there, oh, yeah, we gave a good tip. I'm glad. And then I heard God say, yeah, Tyler, why don't you give something, like, personally, not from both of y'all, but personally. I was like, I don't know about that, God. Like, it's good that I gave one, but, And so I was like, all right. So I ended up giving it, and as we were walking out, the person ran up and gave Shelby a big hug and just told her how much it meant. And it's not, I don't do it for that, but goodness. Just that simple. It wasn't like I took everything out of my wallet and laid it on the table dramatically and walked out, you know. It was not that much. But can I tell you, just from what the atmosphere, it changed the atmosphere, right? It altered what was happening. And so as I know my value, as I know who I am and whose I am, I'm able to walk this out in a greater way, right? And so I was praying about what says the value of something. And there's a bunch of different things, like the rarity of the item or just what it is. You know, cars are more expensive than like dollar toys, you know. But really when it comes down to it, what like really states the value of something is the price that it costs, right? And to make, like, you know, I think if a burrito costs $3 to make, I'm not selling it for $2.50. That's terrible business, right? And so it's the price that it costs to make. And I started thinking about it, and I was just praying about it. And, you know, when you think about, one, the price of the freedom we have here, like you look around, it makes you even think about it more right now with what's going on in the world. we have an amazing freedom. We can come here and sit and talk about God openly, publicly. We can do whatever we want. And then you think about all the lives that people lay down so I could be up here right now. The national disasters, all these things where people actually laid their life down so we could be in here right now. And then also on top of that, you know, like I said earlier, that God sent his son so I could be up here right now. I could walk in power. I could go to heaven. I could hear and walk in all this anointing. And my sons can do it too, right? My family, my grandparents, they who laid their life down and walked and decided to walk with God and raised me in that way. The price that was paid to do that, you know. I heard someone say that, it was a funny little saying, and it was just part of a podcast I listened to. It wasn't like the main part, but he said that David was in heaven looking down. He would see pictures of David in the Bible in heaven whenever he was like, oh, well, I don't think I'm supposed to sing. He was a worship leader. He goes, I don't think I need to sing that hard. I don't need to sing tonight, or I don't feel like giving 110% or giving 100%. I don't feel like doing this. I feel like God's telling me to do, but I don't feel like it. And he said he would see pictures of David going, I gave it all, even before. He said, you know, because David pursued God and sought after his heart. And he said he sought after God's heart so much that he got to experience something that was meant for a later day. For a moment, he entered into something that was, he'd dance before the Lord. He wouldn't care what people did. He respected authority. He walked in such divine power. Like, he experienced God in such a way. And he said, Jesus wasn't even here. I didn't have a cross. It wasn't like what the freedom we have today, right? And so I was like, man, the price that was paid, like, in the calling on my life, because everyone has callings and destinies. That's my number one. Like, everyone's called to something. Everyone has callings and destinies and purpose on their life. It doesn't matter whether you got that calling when you were 12 and you've done nothing. God's outside time and space. If you pursue God and seek after God, you have a calling. You have a destiny. Everyone has a purpose. It's never too late. I think that's one of the number one things. Value, understanding your value and knowing that it's not too late to walk this out, right? So as I better move my notes, I guess. But as I walked this out and understood that there was a value, there was a price that was given, it makes it easier for me to walk out who I am. Like, all this stuff was done so I could be myself. I could joke around with the guys. I could bring life in the atmosphere. I could be positive. Like, man, there's a lot of negative. Oh, I can be positive. It doesn't cost me anything. So how you speak matters. If you speak negatively about yourself, then whenever you think negatively about yourself and you walk that out, you're just agreeing with a lie. You're agreeing with a dysfunction. You're agreeing with that, right? And so that's really big to me. But the second thing is that God placed you specifically where you're at for a reason. God placed me in my job for a reason. God placed me in this church for a reason, right? Because I have a part to play. He's given me an area of influence. So me and my wife help with the youth. We've been doing it for a good number of years now. We're the ministry leaders over the youth group. And we make decisions. We work with our team and get to teach the youth their value and all this stuff that actually I'm teaching today. And it's so awesome. But, you know, I go to the men's ministries, and what I do is I'm not in charge of the men's ministry. I'm not in leadership. I get to serve the men's ministry, and which is insane, awesome. Completely different role than when I'm in youth, right? Most of the time we're making decisions. We're figuring out teachers. We're figuring out conferences. At the men's ministry, if they want me to cook scrambled eggs, I'm cooking scrambled eggs to the best of my ability, right? I might burn them. not promising anything, but I'm going to cook some scrambled eggs. If they want me to pack up something or move something or whatever they need me to do, I'm there to serve because I know I have a part to play there. You know, I get to serve and be a part of that. And then there's sometimes and I think that's something as a church, as a whole, we're learning. There's sometimes God goes, you know, there is something you could do today, but I really want you to rest. I want you. And I looked back on God, like as Jesus walked and lived, he'd take times. He'd rest. He could be doing something else, but he rests. I love the story of the boat. When he's on the boat, he's down there sleeping, storm's going crazy. And they wake him up, and he's like, you woke me up for this? He's like, all right, calm down. And he goes, and he's like, really? Like, I was sleeping. Like, because he understood the values of rest. He understood that he was called to something. He had something he was called to. And so in order to fulfill that, he had to maintain this, right? I had to maintain my personal, mental, physical abilities and mental health. And mental health is a big thing that's stirring up. And I believe that it's such a, I'm so glad it's coming about how people are worrying about what their mental health is. And because, so I see a lot of people with disorders or they are told they're this or that. And it's crazy. I look at it and I go, man, I'm so lucky. Like, I get to walk this life out without having to deal with all that. I get to experience God. I don't have to deal with those things. It makes me value where I'm at in my life and everything that much more. So I was actually watching something and I saw a story. I'm going to share the story and then we're going to have a song and I'm going to pray for us real quick. But the story was, it was a story about a man that was called to a city. And the city, it was crazy. He was at a young age, his dad was mayor of the city. And he felt a calling to the city. It was a good city, but he felt a calling to see it through. He felt like God had a purpose for that city and for him to play something and him to help God just move powerfully in that city. And as he was growing up, a tragic event happened. He lost his dad. And through that, he believed the lie that it was his fault. And so what happened was he actually ran away from that calling. And just lies attached themselves constantly. Just attached. It's your fault. You're not good enough. You weren't called to this. All this stuff. As he did that, he grew up just, and you know how those lies do. They just take root and they get bigger and bigger and they branch off into other things. Until he's a young man, probably in his 20s, and then he has an encounter with God. And it's almost like a open heaven vision, like he sees his dad and his dad's talking about how he's called to this place and how he's more than what he's become. He says, look inside you, you're called to this, to remember who you are and whose you are and all this stuff. And God's just circling the stuff. So what he does is he goes back to the city. At this point, the city has actually started crumbling. It's not the best city. Everything's kind of falling apart. And friends that he used to know, friends that he made during those years of running away, and then friends that he knew growing up came and talked to him, and he said, you know, I'm called to the city, and I love what he says. He says, I'm called to the city, and if I don't fight for it, who will? And which, you know, God has people, he calls everyone to do stuff, but he felt such a calling on his life. He said, I'm called to this, and if I don't fight for it, one, I'll never fully understand what I was called to. I'll never get to see the fulfillment of dreams and a desire on my heart that God gave me. And two, what will the city look like? Because I have value. I bring the city value. I have a part to play this is my area of influence. And so what happened was he started pursuing that and just going after the city and going after the heart. And he got around the community, and shortly after, those lies started popping back up. And that it was his fault, like, you know, because he comes around all this atmosphere again. He sees all the streets that he knew growing up and stuff. And as he's going, he starts, like I said, hearing these lies. And all of a sudden, God comes in and tells the truth and brings light. And he discovers the truth about all that stuff, that it wasn't his fault, that all these lies just started falling off him. And he became who he was called to be. He started working with the city. The city, within a couple months, restored, and just God moved in power. Now, I would preface this. I adjusted the story a little bit. This story, which people who know me know that I love Disney, this is actually a Disney movie. This is actually Lion King. Everyone's like, what, you fooled me, yada, yada. No, like, that's the gospel, right? That's a powerful thing right there, right? All I did was adjust it a little bit. But that's powerful. He's called the one true king, is what they say in that, in the little vision he has. The monkey says, remember, your dad didn't die. He lives in you. Like, come on. Like, what's crazy is that people through these Disney demons know they were teaching that, right? They didn't know. They had no knowledge that they were actually speaking, like, the gospel into these young kids' lives. What's crazy is that God does that with so many things, and that he's planted so many seeds in all of our lives and throughout everything, and how he's just impacted us. And like, I watch a lot of Disney movies. I got young boys now. I can blame it on them, right? I watch a lot of Disney movies, and let me tell you, gosh, God is moving in those. They have a new one out in Canto to where it talks about how at the end the one grandchild that didn't get a gift, didn't get a door, how she felt like she'd never be good enough, and how all these expectations were on her life, and how she felt. And as you go through the story, she feels, you see that each individual person feels the same way. They feel like they have to live a certain way in order to be good, or to be perfect, or to make everyone happy, when in reality they're all miserable. One actually leaves, right? I mean, guys, like, that's God moving. That's God planting seeds. And I believe that as we start walking it out, God's going to start revealing stuff to you. He set a foundation with these movies as kids. He set a foundation with, like, you watch movies and you're just rooting for the good guys, and you just want to see them do great. And you, like, I watch some movies, like sports movies, get me. Like, I'm amped. I'm like, I've never touched a hockey puck, but give me, come on, let's go. Like, I get so amped about it, and it's because, like, because it's so powerful. Like, you hear these stories, and it's like, God created me for something. God created me to do something. God gave me a calling and destiny. I'm called to walk this out. I'm called to know my value. I'm called to know that I have an area of influence that got right where God placed me, no matter if it's, well, I don't want to say, like, no matter if it's, like, raising my boys, which I think, actually, that's exactly where I'm at. Right now, my biggest thing that I'm doing is, it's not, I don't think it's teaching, I don't think it's my job, I think it's raising two gentlemen that walk out and knowing who they are, that love God with all their heart, and that whoever gets to be with them in the future is lucky. Not because I'm awesome and all this, but because that's where God's got me. He's got me raising boys, and I get to let them be boys and wrestle with them and teach them not to poke things in outlets and not eat plants at this point in my life. And so that's one of my favorite things right now, is getting to raise my boys and teach them, because I get to teach them all the stuff that God's showing me, so that whenever they're my age, they aren't where I'm at. They're 10 times further with God. They get to encounter God in such different ways. And so I love that, you know. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to play a song. We picked a song, and it just talks about pouring. I love it because it talks about pouring my love on you, like just pouring it out, just singing praise to God, just giving love to God. And I truly feel like understanding your value and understanding that you have a part to play, that you're the perfect person for your job to bring life. And I think that takes a moment with you and God discovering, God, where am I off with this? Where it's not that I'm failing, that I'm miserable, that I'm terrible. It's where am I? I'm slightly off. I'm not believing that I have value at my job. I'm not believing that I carry anointing where I go. I'm not believing that you placed me here for a reason. And I don't know what the reason is, but you placed me here. So I have something I can bring. I can bring joy. I can bring happiness. I don't have to, every time I pull up to work, have to sit in my truck 10 minutes working myself up just to get out, right? And so I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then we're going to play this song. So, dear God, I thank you for this amazing group of people. I just pray that today, as we just take a moment, as we sit with you and ask you what you have for us, Lord, that you just release knowledge, that you just give us insight, let us experience you, dear God. We just pray that you just continue to speak to us, and we thank you for the exact person that you made us to be, that we don't have to be sorry for how we are, or if we're loud, or if we're quiet, or if we're a little rough around the edges. We don't have to apologize for that we get to encounter you through that, Lord.